Looking for work? Better pay? Better work environment? We can help. Call Kelly Jobs today at 502-425-7131 to speak with a recruiter today. Score a better job with us. Call 502-425-7131 or visit kellyjobs.com. That's kellyjobs.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
You need them hung.
The Take with Andy Sweeney.
It doesn't weigh hardly anything. I can't even feel it.
And James Strebel.
Biden's 82. Look, he's doing great. Look at him. He's doing a fantastic job.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Kentucky, they lost, but in this graphic, they were 5-0, tied for the lead in the SEC and 21-3.
I had no idea.
I had no idea they were there. I mean, you know, we being in Louisville and being a Louisville station, we know how well we need to get somebody on. Who does those games?
Sean Moth does Louisville.
No, I don't care about Louisville. I'm talking about UK.
You see, it sounded like you were talking about Louisville.
Dick Gabriel, maybe?
James loves that. It's Avery just not paying attention at all.
Sean.
And then
Bob.
Just a Dick Gabriel shout out.
Yeah, very
what an odd. What an odd for Missile and Louis. 5 o'clock hour presented by Cox's Spirit Shops and Evergreen Liquors. Cox'sLouisville.com. You know they are delivering and they're ready to go to help you out today, tonight, this weekend. The Final Four national title game on Monday. Reminder, 6:30. Actually, not 6:30. What is it? Oh, Saturday. Saturday, we'll have all the games beginning at 3:30, that coverage. And then on Monday, 6:30, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Is Mike good to go? All right, we'll throw him in. We'll get him going. Mike DeCourcy with us, our college basketball insider from the Sporting News, Big Ten Network, Fox Sports, many places. You can find him at TSN Mike if you want to follow him there on Twitter. Mike, good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I am well. Andy, how are you?
I am fantastic. When are you when you heading down to Houston? Tomorrow? Thursday?
That'll be tomorrow morning.
All righty. There you go. We saw you at the South Regional. I mean, that was a pretty powerful row there. What was it? You and 40 and
Dane O'Neill.
Was Thamel there? I mean, my goodness.
Thamel was there, yes.
My goodness. Scribes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We're all gathered there. You could have got us all in with one punch.
I was about to say. Yeah, they spread. Yeah, it's like, never mind. I was going to say when the president gets captured, they make sure everyone's in different spots.
Right.
You'll never catch DeCourcy, Thamel, and 40 in the same spot.
Never.
Never ever again. Well, man, there's so many places we can start. Obviously, the Final Four that's coming up. You were there at the South Regional. You wrote the column on the final call there in Creighton, San Diego State. And thank God you did, because I attached myself to you, Mike, like you were a life raft, because I felt the same way. I guess overall, what did you think of the column? What did you think of the South Regional? We obviously, Alabama doesn't make it through. San Diego State does in that thrilling game. And, you know, that's who's going to represent the Final Four from the South.
Well, I from the standpoint of the call, I am not a believer in the concept that let the players decide the game. The players decide the game by making plays and or staying within the boundaries of the rules or violating them. If you foul, like let's use the last key play of the Super Bowl as an example. If you commit pass interference, you have to help to decide the game. Or offensive or defensive holding, whichever it was. I think it was holding.
It was. Pass interference. Yeah. So, yeah, same thing. Yeah, yeah.
If you commit that penalty, you have helped decide the game. The official didn't decide it. You did. But that was within the bounds of what that game had been all 60 minutes. That was a foul in the first minute. That was a foul in the 60th minute. Or the 59th, I believe it was in that case. And that was a logical play. But this was a very exceedingly physical basketball game. And it was called that way throughout. There were very few fouls called against either side. And the officials had allowed San Diego State to establish that as the nature of this basketball game. And I'm not a fan of that. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of San Diego State and how well they play and how well they play together and how well they defend without fouling. But there are moments when their physicality could be whistled, and it's not. And certainly on that day, there were moments. And I thought that, you know, if you ask Creighton before the game, do you want to play the game in the way SD State wants to play it, or do you want to play it right, the way most of your Big East games are played? Which one do you think they'd have checked? Okay, so they were forced into this game, and they did their best to compete in it when it's not really their style. And then they get to the 59th minute and the final 5 seconds, and their guard gets beat. There's nobody. I don't think there's anybody that's, you know, as Ryan put it, he said that Darian Trammell got downhill, which mm-hmm. an opponent's way of saying, oh, he got me, you know, yeah. He beat me. But at that point, he puts his forearm on him, and he puts his hand, and ultimately his hand winds up on his hip. I'm sorry, in that game, that's not a foul. Not in that game. In the game, the Texas game, Miami game that followed it, that game, that's a foul.
37 fouls.
And it was called as such every minute of that game.
Texas and Miami had 37 fouls. Creighton and San Diego State only had 22. And as I know you wrote about it and everything else, I mean, San Diego State had 4 free throws before those 2 at the very end. I mean, you're looking at Texas and Miami combined for 47 free throws. Creighton and San Diego State combined for 17. 17.
That's not logical. It's not. And it's not what we all saw. You mentioned my seat. You saw how close I was.
I did.
As I said, I'm not a believer in the differential between the beginning and the end of the game. But that was a differential at the end of the game that separated itself from the way the other 39 minutes and 55 seconds were called.
What was the conversation there with you media brethren right there? I mean, come on. You guys have, combined, have covered a lot of games. And, you know, this kid's getting ready to go to the free throw line. And, like, I actually, because I sat with a bunch of them, Mike, I actually felt bad for the Creighton people. bad for them.
I saw a lot of raised eyebrows, but I didn't see a lot of columns.
I didn't either.
That agreed with mine.
I agree. You're in the minority, Mike. You are.
I will say that I didn't do that just on my opinion. I can say that. I can't say much beyond that, but I did not do it just on my opinion. Let's leave it at that.
Okay.
And I can say that that people who have more experience in that particular field than I do, I did once upon a time officiate sixth grade basketball
nice.
When I was a senior in high school. So people with much more experience than me, I did consult. So I didn't go and just say, oh, that's terrible. This is my, I wanted to know what the world thought as well. And I think that, you know, although you heard, you didn't hear, but I've been told that the television broadcast was sympathetic to the call. Mm-hmm. I got, and including Gene Steratore, mm-hmm. Fellow Pittsburgher.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with others who supported my viewpoint. Let's put it that way.
I guess the only other thing to clean up in the regional, Alabama doesn't make it through, obviously, the hoopla. Obviously, you know, they had the lead against San Diego State, the play of Brandon Miller in the NCAA tournament. What did you make of them not making through it? And then we'll move to, you know, the games coming up on Saturday.
Well, I thought that San Diego State did a phenomenal job on Javon Quinterly, and I thought that – and Brian Dutcher, who everybody knows is Dutch – I thought he understood that if he shut down Quinterly, that there wouldn't be many options for Alabama to excel. Brandon Miller in the South Carolina game, which happened to be the night of that hearing, the infamous hearing,
mm-hmm.
that made revelations about Brandon on the night and his presence and all of that on the night of the shooting. he that night was able to go and get himself 41 points. The rest of the team did not play well that day, but he on his own was able to chase down 41 points. He was not able to do that in this game, and I didn't think he worked as hard for whatever reason. I didn't think he worked as hard to get himself into good positions. Maybe it was difficult with the way he was being defended. I don't know. But he didn't drive the basketball as much in this game. He settled a lot. I think that if you look at the fact that they played two of the top defensive teams in the country in games this season, one in a regular season against Tennessee and one against San Diego State in the tournament, and they were bad by their standards in both of those games. They got absolutely handled by Tennessee on the road, and then in this one, they allowed San Diego State to control it and ultimately win the game.
Mike DeCourcy with us at TSN. Mike, I mean, there's so many different ways we can go. I guess I'll go generic and then we'll drill down into some particulars. You know, there's so many storylines here. I mean, we had the Blue Blood Final Four last year. We have this, you know, this year, obviously. We have some first-timers. We have FAU. Did not expect San Diego State. You picked UConn. They have been fantastic in this tournament. We can talk about Miami, their guards, their defense being better. What are your favorite storylines? You're a basketball Benny. Last year was one way. This year's another. What do you think of the Final Four?
Well, I'm not a big storyline person. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what you do to not – people do that so that they don't have to think about the games. I'm not saying that I'm averse to writing stories. Obviously, I do that. When I go into an event like this, I mean, my first interest in is who's going to win? Like, how? And how is the game going to play out? And to me, the interesting thing is, I mean, you've got two – terrific teams in Florida Atlantic and San Diego State that probably can't be a whole lot different in terms of how they play. They in terms of success, they're darn close to equivalent. You're talking about two 30-win teams that have dominated their opposition in a lot of different circumstances. But they're much different in the way they play. They are San Diego State is deeper. They're older. They are not as proficient offensively. Florida Atlantic is very good at the offensive end, but not they don't sacrifice their defense in order to do that. It's interesting to me that you have two one-way teams in this Final Four. Miami's got one of the best offenses and not a very effective defense, and San Diego State's got one of the best defenses and not a very effective offense. And then you have two teams that are much more complete in to varying degrees. And I'll be interested to see whether, you know, do the complete teams win? Because it's what usually happens. I don't think that's what will happen in FAU, SDSU, because I think the Aztecs are so experienced and so connected. I don't think I've ever seen a team that deep where there's less ego than there is on that team. I mean, it's just whoever's on the floor goes out and tries to win. And you don't see much pouting. I loved Brian Dutcher talking about how in the first 5 minutes of the second half of the Alabama game, he took out the whole starting five.
And he said he did. Yeah.
Most programs, you'd have to spend the next 10 minutes trying to do damage control with those guys, but not his guys. They just go when they get sent back in, they go out and play. Matt Bradley, who was their star player, so to speak. He was dreadful in Louisville. I mean, he was all conference. He's their only double figure scorer on average, and he was poor offensively in both games. Didn't make a shot until the final 6 minutes or so against Alabama. Then played even more poorly than that in the final, in the regional final, and they were able to overcome that. That's pretty impressive.
Miami's defense, we've talked about that. You got to be, what, it was the top 20 offensive and defensive efficiency, and obviously they were in the 100s. It feels like they've been, and the narrative is that they have been better, even though their offense and guard playing, going to the bucket and everything else, but it feels like that's picked up a little bit. I mean, do you believe that, and how does that fit into your analysis of this weekend at all?
Well, I did not, you know, because I was in Louisville, I did not get to see any of their Houston games. So I can't speak for what happened there. They were
they just blew them out
early.
Yeah.
I can't really say what happened. It didn't make any sense in some ways because it shouldn't have been that easy. But I can't tell you what happened. But I watched the Texas game, and I thought the Texas scored fairly easily on them for 30 minutes. And then it got a little hard. I thought that Miami got a little desperate and started to guard better. And then I think the game pressure really started to hit for the Longhorns. I thought the game pressure really became a problem for them. They still gave up 81 points in that game, Miami did, and they still gave up 1.12 points per possession. Anything over a point is not great.
Right.
They gave up 57% shooting on twos and 40% on threes. Again, not great D. But they just they made it really uncomfortable for Texas by attacking the lane, attacking the rim, by getting going in one-on-one situations. And Texas did not respond well to that at the defensive end, nor did they respond well on offense when the game pressure started to really ratchet up.
Just as a side note, what did you make of Rodney Terry getting the job, 5-year deal?
Yeah, I'm happy for Rodney. I think he's a really fine coach. It's a it's an interesting position to be in now. I think the problem, the biggest concern I have for him is that he takes this program over in a time of transition. And what I mean by that is obviously it's transition from coach to coach, et cetera, but I'm talking about athletic department-wide transition from the Big 12 to the SEC. Now, in some ways, that's maybe not so bad because the Big 12 has been the deepest conference in college basketball for the last couple of years. They've been terrific, especially in 2023. So it might not be so bad to get away from that and get yourself on. I don't know where Ole Miss is going to be in 2 years. I don't know, but get yourself on somebody like that.
Looking for a coach. Maybe. Yeah, looking for a coach. That's where they'll be in 2 years.
We'll see how that goes down.
Looking for a coach.
I think that they could probably at Texas use a few more breathers than they had this year. But I think he's a really fine coach. I know he's a really terrific recruiter. It was Rodney who built the of all places, Texas to Canada pipeline that brought them Tristan Thompson, that brought them Mike Kabongo, that brought them Corey Joseph back in the early part of the last decade, the 2010s. He did that. And then he went on to Fresno State and built a nice program there. It wasn't an empty program. It wasn't a total wreck, but he built it up into a more consistent success. And then he went to UTEP, and they did win, but he wasn't there for very long. But we know he's been a successful head coach. The team he just got done winning with, I mean, it's not like there's a ton of pros on that team, a ton of NBA guys. If there were, Marcus Carr would be in the league by now. I'm not saying he'll never play in the league.
Tyrese Hunter wasn't good for like 60% of the season. We talked about that because Louisville fans wanted him bad.
Yeah,
bad.
So, yeah, I mean, Christian Bishop's a really good forward, but not great. They lose Dylan Dessou for the championship game, and they still have a 14-15-point lead. The one thing I would have played Dylan Mitchell longer in this game because I don't think that Miami had any idea what to do with him. They really struggled with him. Dylan made both his field goal attempts. I thought that he should have remained out there longer. With as much as Christian Bishop was struggling, Brock Cunningham ended up committing a really problematic foul. He did some good things as well. He had 8 rebounds in a very short period of time. But the one thing I would have liked to have seen is Dylan Mitchell play more because early in that game, he was really bothering the Hurricanes.
Mike DeCourcy at TSN. Mike, the Sporting News Big Ten Network does the brackets every year for Fox Sports. Have them every Tuesday here in the college basketball season on The Take on ESPN 680. A texter asks this, and it's not a bad question. Has given FAU, has Mike ever been to, has Mike DeCourcy ever been to Boca? Have you ever been to Boca?
I have not been to Boca.
Me
that
either.
Is one area of Florida that I have not seen personally. So, no, I guess... I guess that's one I got to get to eventually.
The only Boca story I have, and it's the most stereotypical Boca story, Mike, is someone who I happen to know. You know, whatever. I won't give too many particulars. They were older, okay, and they moved to Boca, and they had a little bit of a younger female companion.
Oh,
and they had to get special okay for her to live in that community that they live, the area,
the retirement community.
The area that they live, because they were worried she would be too young.
Oh.
How about that, Mike? That's my only Boca story. I mean, I'm
pretty good one.
But that's Boca.
Yeah.
If you said, what would be the most stereotypical non-Lane Kiffin Boca story? You'd be like, oh, it'd be something like that. Yeah, it'd be something like that. So anyway, Mike DeCourcy with us. I'm going to ask you this, Mike, and obviously the game's coming up, but I mean, we have We talk so much how you build a team and how you build a team for March and everything else. And UConn, obviously, is one way. And San Diego State is a rock fight. And they, like you said, they are very together as a team, interchangeable parts. Miami, not so much on defense, has the guards, the flashy guards on offense. And then it's no offense. They're 35-3, but not a lot of people are, you know, me, paying attention to FAU. I don't know, when you see new coaches make the Final Four, you see some of the old guard has went away, the transfer portal, the extra year, NIL, obviously that's a big deal with Miami. Building a team, that's what we're talking about with Kentucky and Louisville around here. It just seems like it's all over the map. There's no one or two things you must do. These are all very good teams, but they're also unexpected, and they're also very different, like you mentioned as well. How do you build a team in college basketball right now?
Well, I think the fallacy is assuming that the four that are standing are the only four that succeeded in that. There are dozens that succeeded this year, and we assume that only what if with seconds left in the Florida Atlantic Memphis game, the officials had granted a timeout that Memphis earned and deserved? What if they'd given it? Memphis is still alive, maybe. I don't know. It might have been somebody else, but FAU's story has a much different ending if that's the case. So I think that what we miss sometimes is the element of good fortune that plays into this. I mean, we had Texas. I mentioned DeSue didn't play in their Sweet 16 or their Elite 8 game. He had been their best player in the Big 12 championship run. And in the first couple of rounds of this tournament, or UCLA, which goes out in the Sweet 16, down two starters, two out of five. You only got five. They had two down. So I think that to assume that only these teams are the model, I think is fallacious. There are lots of models out there, and there are lots of different ways to win at this game. It's one of the reasons why it's the best game that we have. Because you can do what FAU has done and be successful, even if they hadn't made the Final Four, they still would have won 30 games. You can do what UCLA has done. You can do what Kansas State did this year with Marquise Noel, and what a magnificent job he did. You can do what Purdue did and win multiple championships in your league, and hopefully you do a little bit better.
Hopefully, yeah.
Or one versus,
you'll lose to a 16,
game.
Yeah.
But I think that there are a lot of different ways to win. But the number one thing that you have to have is you have to have however many players are on your roster, you have to have them all with the same idea. And that is that winning will elevate everybody. You want to get to the league? Great. Win, they'll notice. You want to get, you want to get to NIL? You think the donors aren't more ready to give you NIL money when you're in the Final Four than when you don't make the show? Win. That's the thing that everybody has to understand, and I think that when you're recruiting, you have to understand that. You have to acknowledge that, and you can't believe you're going to change every young person that comes into your program. You see the talent, you say, I can take care of the other thing. So they're really selfish when they play and they don't always work hard on D, but they'll do it for me. Yeah, maybe. Or yeah. Maybe you end up, being one of these people that we're reading about now with all this money that's being spent on fired coaches. Maybe that ends up being you.
Well, you got to spend all the TV money on something. It's either Mark Stoops' buyout or it's a coach, yeah. Or Mark Stoops' contract, yeah. I should say. The football coach on here makes like $9 million at Kentucky. He'll win like 7 games this year.
Yeah, so he's a lot of money, Mike.
He's making at least a mil a game, if not a little bit more. You may have said this. I apologize. Mike DeCourcy with us. So in the end, how is this working out, I guess? How is this going to work out this weekend? Are you expecting San Diego State UConn? And if so, what kind of a game do you think we're looking at? It's going to be a lot of athletes in that game.
I do think that's what the game will be. I think San Diego State is really hard to beat, and especially by a team that's fairly young, although I do think FAU has the talent to succeed. I also thought that of Alabama, and I also thought that of Creighton, and they couldn't do it. And I think both of those teams are more talented than FAU. So I think it'll be interesting to watch how that game develops, but I expect it to be SD State. One of the things that if you look, and I think we've talked about this before, historically there are certain qualifications, prerequisites, whatever you want to call it, that almost exclusively all NCAA champions share. And among the most prominent are NBA first round talents. UConn has them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think there are any others in the Final Four. Maybe Jordan Miller starts to convince somebody, but I haven't seen it. Norchad Omir might be a first-round talent, but in the NFL, if you've seen him, 6'7".
Oh, he's a beast.
I tell you what, if I were an NFL team, I'd be like, as soon as he's done hooping, I would be like, okay, what position do you want to play?
The George so Mason. Strong. Remember, George Mason made the when they made the Final Four. Mm-hmm. Mike, they had a player who tried out on an NFL team. He was a lineman. The only reason I remember that is the Giants tried him out. That's the only reason.
And it didn't work out for him. But here in Indy for many years, I don't know if he's still with the team. Mo Alley Cox from BCU. He was a very good basketball player. And of course, the most obvious example is Antonio Gates,
right?
Who didn't play football at Kent State, but was on an Elite Eight team for the Golden Flashes, and he became one of the great tight ends in the history of the game. So I'm serious about Omir. I think that there has to be a position on a football team for somebody that dynamic and that strong. He is amazing. The idea that you have to have that first round guy, mm-hmm. you have to have a size. Like, we haven't had a 6'7" center, and I mentioned Omir, 6'7" center. We haven't had a 6'7" center win the national championship since 1979. It's always 6'9" or taller, and maybe the occasional 6'8" slipped in there, but never 6'7". It's one of the reasons why I was down on Kansas all year as a national championship contender. And then, you know, you kind of have to have the five-star guys, the McDonald's guys, and they're not at FAU. Again, they're not at SDSU. Some of them are at UConn. That's, you know, all of this plays into it. And then offensive and defensive efficiency may be even more important than the other components I've talked about. Top 20 offense, top 20 defense. We have the SDSU, which is top five offense, top 75 defense. Excuse me, top 75.
Right, inverse, right.
Top five defense, top 75 offense. And then flip that, 100 plus for Miami in defense, but top in offense. And then you have FAU, which is outside the top 20 in both categories, but not that far out. They're pretty balanced. I think they're around 24 in one, 26 in the other. So, again, it all comes up UConn, but of course they have to go out and win the games that all the data and all the history and all the facts says they ought to win.
Mike DeCourcy with us. Just quickly before we get you out of here, and safe travels tomorrow, obviously, to the Houston area. Xavier Wheeler, the latest to put his name in the draft, in the portal. Caleb Love is a very interesting one as well. I don't know. I'm trying to think who Wheeler would fit with, but Wheeler needs to find an offense that fits him. What do you make of those two big names putting their names in the portal in the last 24 hours?
Well, my feeling is that Armando Bacot and R.J. Davis both announced that they were staying, knowing what the outcome of the third one would be, because I'm not sure that they would have rushed to commit if it didn't go the way it did. Mm-hmm. You know, I wish Caleb Love all the best. I hope he finds a place that suits him, and that his significant talent can be incorporated into a significant team. But that's going to take some work on his part, as well as on the part of the people that sign him. I think Xavier, I think he needs to, honestly, I think that his best circumstance would be to go to a program and a league where his size would not be as significant a concern as it was in the SEC for his entire career. On offense, he can play with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But defensively, he does struggle with some of the bigger players that he went against in the SEC. And so it's up to him what he wants to do. I mean, but it's going to be a battle for him. If he stays high major, it's going to be a battle for him at that spot. I do think that in the Big East, if he decided to go in the Big East, that's a league that's not overly physical. I mentioned before, that's not what Creighton does. It's not what Xavier does. Might be what Xavier does now that Sean gets to have more of a say in who the players are, Sean Miller. But it's not really what they do. It's a league that goes up and down, a lot of 80-point games. I think that he would fit very well in that league. So I'm not saying he's got to be a mid-major player or anything like that. I think he's a big-time talent. But I do think that there are certain leagues where his size would become a detriment to him being fully successful.
I agree. He's going to be interesting. Kentucky will be interesting. I think in the next week we're going to have more Kentucky guys make that decision. Guys are going to be brought in, and we're just kind of sitting around here waiting to see what happens in the transfer portal. Mike, we appreciate it. Safe travels. We'll talk with you. We think next week after the title games. I know traveling, we'll get together on that. Enjoy the games. We'll be consuming the info. Appreciate it, and we'll talk next week. Thank you so much.
Sounds great.
All right, there we go. Mike DeCourcy with us on this Tuesday.
In-depth Elite Eight talk. There we go.
Should be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun. It should be definitely a who knows what happens Final Four.
Scribes everywhere down there.
Everywhere down there. Oh,
boy.
Yeah.
All
wonder if
the
we'll get
heavy
that picture
hitters.
Again. Of all those riders
I mean,
there at the table together.
They'll all be there.
Yeah.
It'll be that, but they'll all be together. They won't be split up in different regions.
You're going to try to find out where they're eating. Maybe you'll pop up in the restaurant.
No.
Is he Pat Forty having a drink at the bar? Maybe,
I can see Pat Forty here.
Well, that's a good point. Mike DeCourcy catching a pizza pie somewhere.
No, DeCourcy's a stay-in-the-room guy.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
Yeah.
He's a stay-in-the-hotel room guy.
He'll go get his dinner and he'll take it back to the room.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
I'm like that, too, just so you know.
Why would you do that? If you were in Houston, why would you do that? You would go to the room? No, you wouldn't. You go out and drink beer.
I would, but I wouldn't stay out too late. I wouldn't like go around town or whatever. I could see myself getting beer and just taking it back to my room and drinking it there.
That was a lie.
No,
he's not lying, James.
Not lying.
It's sad.
Yeah, I really
it's just,
yeah.
Like you can go out and have a good time.
Yeah.
All right.
Thinking about Saints.
Yeah, that's a good point. He saw me in my moment
at
Saints. Yes, you're right, James.
You ass hipped some man out of the way.
Well, it's a different situation. Like, I knew people there.
Yeah.
Well, there were people there I knew I could talk to,
Well, you can go say hi to Jeff Goodman, all the nice things you said to him.
Yeah, all the nice things he said about Cal and Kentucky. I'm sure we get along famously.
Well, there hasn't been too many lately, but understand.
Yeah.
Mike was presented by BJ Heating and Cooling. Again, guys, if your HVAC system, that AC is not going to make it through the summer, maybe you just made it through last year, you need somebody, and that somebody, they've been in my home, they've been in Strebel's home as well. It's BJ Heating and Cooling, 812-283-7221, online bjheatcool.com. And right now, if you have that room or area in your home or business, you don't want to rework your entire ductwork and system and everything else, check out those Bryant mini splits. BJ Heating and Cooling, they're your local factory authorized Bryant dealer. You can save yourself some money. They're quiet. They're efficient, so find out more about those as well. 812-283-7221 online, bjheatcool.com.
Metro College is a program that helps students pay for tuition, and I didn't believe it. You have to work third shift 5 days a week. It's a great and rewarding thing when you graduate. I would do it all over again, just like I just did.
You know those buddies who magically become medical professionals when you're not at the top of your game?
the ones who say,
come on, muscle through it,
but then also say,
hey, you should probably see my specialist,
or surgery or pain meds. It's almost always false, false, and false. Athletico's physical therapists, the same therapists who work with professional athletes, can tackle those little aches and pains from the start before they become big ones. So next time, don't believe everything you hear. Instead, start with Athletico. Schedule your free assessment at athletico.com.
Time now for The Take with Andy Sweeney.
What kind of punishment is it for Kellen if he uses profanity?
Well, we just explained to him that it's not a good word to use, and if he continues to use it, he'll get soap in the mouth. Liquid Dial. He hates it. We're not a corporal punishment household. We don't strike our children.
Soap in the mouth.
Soap in the mouth. Liquid soap. He gets three squirts and he's got to take the soap in the mouth and he gets to wash it out.
And James Strebel.
I just know how awful it was to me. And
well, people are taking a run at you. They're saying that it's dangerous to do what you're doing. That you have to use bar soap, not Dial soap.
He doesn't swallow it. It just is in his mouth. He rinses it out. We don't make him hold it in there for very long.
On ESPN 680 and 105.7.
We haven't heard that. We haven't heard that stupid rejoin in a while.
It's been a while.
We really
yeah.
haven't.
It's been a long time.
437-9680. Reminder, our friends at RGB Home Theaters, if you want to get that setup ready, maybe that outdoor setup as the weather is turning nice, get that theater experience to your home today. RGB, red, green, blue, RGBHomeTheaters.com. Check out their website, their most recent work, all the contact information. Get that free estimate, whether it's a TV, a couple TVs. They price match the big box stores. They specialize in that Dolby Atmos, and they'll make everything look good, make it look clean, and they'll take care of you every step of the way. RGB HomeTheaters.com. So we appreciate them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I got to reach out and get the outdoor thing popping.
We going to start doing that?
I don't know. I don't know, Strebel. It's a great question. Yeah. I really don't know. Okay, we have a little bit of sound I want to play.
Okay, we haven't played hardly any sound today.
And then I have a question for you.
Okay.
And then also, the third thing, this little mini segment here, the next 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Is you saying goodbye to Drew Timmy?
Yeah.
Do you want to do
that now?
You want to do that
sure,
now?
Sure, I can do that now.
For people that don't know, Strebel didn't care about Gonzaga or Drew Timmy. And then I became the bad guy with Gonzaga.
Yeah.
And my point wasn't that they're bums. My point was that the Big 12, they can lose and it doesn't count as a loss.
Sure, yeah.
Okay? It's how West Virginia can go 17-13
and go to the
and make the NCAA tournament and not even sweat, like make
they
the
made
NCAA
it comfortable. Yeah,
tournament.
They're like an 8th seed or whatever.
Yeah, they're in the 8-9 game. So,
yeah.
So my take was that they are overseeded. That Gonzaga, when they're a 2, they're probably closer to a 5.
Sure.
And they did start to schedule better in the non-con, but let's be honest about their conference. It's never been, are they good, they're bad. Mine was that they're overseeded more times than not. It can give them an easier path, although I'm not sure I believe there's an easy path to any of this. Strebel then hijacked that and called them bums. And
yeah.
he won.
Well,
and you've been the winner here, and you were mean and nasty, and Timmy had like 35-15 his final game or whatever it was. Or I need to look up what he had.
Yeah, he had like
16, maybe?
No, he had like 11-3.
Well, he's filed out, too,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So go ahead.
He got to do with some big boys, and this was actually
gets
to do with some big boys. So here's the thing.
Okay, well, hang on. He had 12-10.
12-10.
Against UCLA, I mean, they were
two seed.
He had 36-13.
But again, a dim bone
didn't
play.
Against TCU, he had 28-8.
And who cares about TCU?
Okay.
Yeah,
fair enough.
They'd have good bigs. And then
Alabama, he had 29-10.
Yeah.
I'm looking against the big boys.
And that's fine. No, but like physical players.
Xavier, he had 16-7.
Yeah.
Xavier, big boy? No, probably not.
No, but
22-10, Purdue.
He was fine. He was fine. He's a good college basketball player.
Well, he wasn't the reason they lost. They're bum guards.
No, they're guards.
You should be attacking Nolan Hickman.
No, I'll attack. I'll I'll tag Drew Timmy too, because he couldn't handle his stuff against UConn. He couldn't. He had the big moment. He could have gone to a Final Four, which would only be a second for such a great college basketball player. For such a great college basketball player, the college basketball writers and basketball Benny just had to fall all over themselves to tell you, to force down your throat how great Drew Timmy is. Just how great he is. He's so great. He made it to one Final Four and one national championship game and got embarrassed the way he did the other night against UConn. They embarrassed him. This is why I took the other road on Drew Timmy, because everybody had to tell you how great he was. And then he got exposed even further in this tournament, Andy. You remember the game where he just walked all over the place against UCLA. People then compiled videos of Drew Timmy throughout the year and throughout the tournament where he had to walk 37 times to make a, quote, post move. No, if you're a good post player, you plant your pivot foot, you bang, you put the post play up, you score a basket. But Drew Timmy had to dance because he wasn't good. Since he wasn't good, he wasn't physical, he had to dance around and he had to move this way and move that way and walk, and the rest didn't call it because they gave him his flowers. Then he got it called against him. In that Elite Eight game. Bye-bye, Drew. I'm sorry, in the Sweet 16 game. Bye-bye, Drew Timmy. You're gone. Thank goodness he's gone. And it made me happy, Andy. I know everybody else.
Well, it should have. Obviously, this has been your calling card now.
They had to write story after story after story in every single season. He had to be the National Player of the Year preseason. He had to do it every single season. He was the preseason All-American. It was like, enough. We know you like him. Enough. He won't do anything in the NBA. When you look back on Drew Timmy's career, he wasn't even as good as Adam Morrison. Adam Morrison was a much better Gonzaga player than he was. A much better player. He was the number two pick in the draft. People laughed. They laughed at Adam Morrison when he lost. When Drew Timmy lost, Not Drew Timmy.
Timmy didn't cry. That's probably why.
He was so good. College basketball is really going to miss him. No, it's not. They won't miss him at all. People won't talk about Drew Timmy 2 years from now because he didn't do anything worth a damn. Again, he went to one title game, got busted. That's it. That's his legacy. That's his story. Never won National Player of the Year. Never won Defensive Player of the Year. He got the West Coast Conference Player of the Year a bunch of times, though, Andy. He got that. How about that West Coast Conference Player of the Year? He was a bum. He was always a bum. It was a sell job by Seth Davis and the likes of him. That's who Drew Timmy is. That's his legacy.
Here's Dan Issel on it. Go ahead. Here we go.
Here, how many extra steps is Drew Timmy allowed?
The reason he might get an extra step or two along the way is because his footwork is so good. The officials looking at it, his right shoulder with that left-hand hook time after time after time. And the official, I think, would have to say, well, wow, his footwork is so great. There's no way he could have traveled. If you're good at something, get away with it. The officials will respect that.
It turned me on here, James. I found another one. Okay. Just.
Timmy's good. He's fun to watch. I enjoy watching him. He's one of my favorites.
Oh. No.
If he's so good at footwork, he wouldn't have to pirouette 17 times like a ballerina. That's what he looked like. Little ballerina Timmy has to twirl 17 times to make one step move and do a scoop layup. What's a defender supposed to do with that? You can't defend someone for 5 minutes while he's walking all over the place. That's really difficult to do.
You're talking Timmy, not Oscar, right?
No, Oscar didn't dance around as much as Timmy did. He didn't.
He's threw an elbow.
He's threw elbows. I'd rather my guy throw elbows and walk.
Doesn't Timmy have a comparable career to Issel?
No, Issel, I think we...
need to look this up because Issel didn't win a championship.
No, he didn't. He didn't. Oh, okay. I know he didn't win it, but he actually broke records at his school. Timmy, I don't think, did.
Hang on. James, like, he's the all-time, need to stop everything.
Leading scorer at Kentucky.
I'm with you.
He's top five rebounder in Kentucky's history.
He lost his teeth.
Yeah, I mean, no.
All right, let's add it up. He averaged 25-12 a game. At Kentucky. That's what he averaged at Kentucky.
Yes.
I don't know how many points that is. I'm looking here. I'd have no idea when people say he's the leading scorer. I'm like, great. I don't know how many points that is.
Thousands.
Thank you. I have absolutely idea.
It's a lot of points, though. Yeah.
So Drew Timmy stats. I mean, this is where we are right now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Drew Timmy stats. Now, this is just per game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, he's going to be under. He played 4 years. Yeah, it's because he played that freshman year. He averaged 9 a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't going to get it up.
Yeah, sorry, Timmy.
You can save that for the mixtape. Yeah.
I think Dane only played 3 years.
Yeah, he only had to play.
Yeah, he only three years.
Because freshmen didn't
couldn't play.
Play
back then. So, yeah, Dan Issel's better. Yeah, Dan Issel's better.
Dan Issel's better. You know what? Yeah. I don't know.
He
I don't know.
No, we'll he is. He's a lot better.
We'll have to go to the Bartorvik additional stats.
I'll tell you, one guy's a legend and one guy is a four-year dude that people liked. That's the difference. Timmy ain't a legend. He will not be a legend at Gonzaga. He won't. John Stockton's a legend at Gonzaga.
No,
understandable.
I think he's a legend at Gonzaga. And that's all he would be.
No, that's all he. No,
that's
Dan
all he would
no,
be.
He's an NBA legend, ABA legend. I mean, Dan Issel's a legend
he's
across
done everything.
The board.
NBA,
he's a,
ABA,
yeah, coaching,
everything.
GM, everything. Timmy will be a one-shot wonder at Gonzaga, and everyone will forget about him
there,
the rest of the country.
There is something here that says old Timmy sound.
Old Timmy sound. I wonder what that is.
Well, you want one?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's just. I'm just. This is the first one.
Why not?
It's labeled 61. Here we go.
Okay. I'm not worried about Louisville at all. No, Gonzaga is a bigger team, better team, more successful team than Louisville is. Like, absolutely, it's a bigger game than Louisville game. Louisville game, I'm not sweating over Louisville one bit. Especially since it's in Rupp Arena. Like, that's whatever. That's playing Radford. Like,
okay.
Well,
okay.
Well, that was true. It was playing Radford.
Here's what it says. Deep down, Sriebel knows Duke has been a better program.
No, that's not what I said. It's a respectable program on par with Kentucky. That's why you shrug that off, because losses of those teams happen.
Let me ask you this.
Blue Bloods, you don't lose to bums like Gonzaga.
They lost
to the
bum.
Yeah. No, they did. I admitted that. I have zero respect for Gonzaga and Drew Timmy. They lost. It was a bad loss.
I should read these to you, James. Sriebel, I'm not stressing. Oh, let's see. Here we go. Sriebel. UK not losing to Gonzaga. Their roster is mid. We can hear that one. We have Sriebel didn't watch the game, but rails against Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Sriebel mad about Timmy 1. Sriebel mad about Timmy 2. Sriebel mad about Timmy 3. He's not a premier player.
He's not. He still isn't. He never was.
Sriebel mad about Timmy 4. Sriebel rant on Timmy and Gonzaga 1, 2, and 3.
And you can bring all this up, but hey, no, you can bring all this up, which is fine. But Big Mouth Timmy had some things to say after his little games and what happened to him. He lost. He's
Oh,
those people can go wherever. Ha ha. And he's cussing on TV and trying to be Big Mouth Timmy. And where'd he go? He ended up the same spot that Oscar Sheway did, sitting down watching the games. Ducky's going to smack him.
All right.
They're gonna, whatever the spread is, take Kentucky. That's fine.
Thank you.
I was wrong. I was dead wrong. And so was Timmy.
We have
Timmy
two
called
folders
his shot, too.
I'm just
That's
looking
fine.
At all the folders we
That's
have.
That's fine. He called his
God
shot, too,
bless Jack.
And he got sunk, too.
We have Fanta on Oscar versus Timmy.
And Oscar, and Oscar was better. Oscar was better. Was
goes
he not?
Back to November.
Was Oscar not better against Timmy, like stat-wise, one-on-one? He was. He had more points and more rebounds.
Yeah,
he did.
You know how I view them, and you can't see it this way. I view them as in the same bracket of player.
I think it's fair. I'm not gonna sit here and say that Oscar Tshiebwe was some transcendent player. He had one awesome, year of college basketball, one of the best years you've seen a player.
He was Chumbawamba.
The Chumbawamba, he's the one, But no, he was a great rebound. He at least had one skill, and
was
that was rebounding.
Garden?
He was very, very good. No, Soundgarden was way better than One Hit Wonder. No, absolutely not. They have classic albums. I mean, that's not one song. They had great albums. But,
Sriebel rant on Timmy 1. I mean, there's just rant after rant
Again,
after rant.
Again, one player won National Player of the Year. The other didn't. One was
No, but I'm just going back through 2 years of Sriebel rant on Timmy 2, and they're not
and
the same
right.
Because they're like 6 months apart.
And I ended up being right about Drew Timmy.
Cal 3 on Oscar versus Timmy with Jack's question and a fake media laugh at the end. Wow, we got a fake media laugh.
Oh, really?
Well, let's go to that.
Let's hear that. I got to hear the fake media laugh. That's always great.
Here we go.
All right.
Let's see. We got here. Come on.
Work.
Come on. Let's play. I'm testing the computer right now.
It was working so well
we're not
earlier.
Responding.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I was going too fast. That's what happened.
You confused the machine.
I confused the machine. That's what happened.
46.
Here we go.
Oh. 60-46. What did I say?
50-46.
What did I say?
50-46.
You heard me wrong.
There's a little media
what
laugh.
What are you talking about there?
I have absolutely no
idea. You barely hear poor old Kevin.
The other thing. Talk about this. You can talk about this tomorrow, maybe.
Okay.
I'm going to tee this up for you.
Thank you. I'll need that.
Well, we mentioned this yesterday.
Yeah.
that the dogs are coming for yes. Kentucky. That yes. was your take. And I'm not buying anything, Cal.
Sure,
I mean, if he goes down the portal and he gets like three dudes on top of this,
yeah.
I don't mind changing my take at all. I want to be clear. But yeah. right now, I am very much pulling a Bobby V, let the cake bake on just everything.
Yep.
And it's not that even like, you know, the Athletic had a piece today. And it was, you know, it was DJ Wagner and Aaron Bradshaw and Ron Holland are the three
and he's really good.
That are better than when he's going to Texas.
Right.
Along with AJ Johnson, by the way.
Right.
And like,
they stuck there.
Like those yeah. three, yeah. Notice how that wasn't a story for a second.
It wasn't. They
Not
never wavered.
A second.
Yep.
Bad look for Chris Beard. That's a different story. but I mean, you look at it. You know, they were saying those three have separated themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even that I'm saying, DJ Wagner's not going to be good or he's not going to be whatever. It's, okay, who else is going to be good? There's going
right.
to be a core of players that are good. Kentucky had a core of players that were good this year.
Sure.
Okay, and sometimes inconsistent, sometimes injured, sometimes
it was the supporting
yada, yada.
Cast. Yeah.
yeah, but I mean, yeah. it's like, okay, but what's the complete team?
Sure.
Do I think DJ Wagner will be good? Yes. Do I think Aaron Bradshaw? Yeah. Yes. Again, I'm great. Yeah, you're going to have good players, okay? Mm-hmm. Again, you're going back to the tournament. It's not like we're talking about you being a 10, you know, being a four-win team
Doing
like
a
you
total-
have.
Rebuild.
Being a 10-22 yeah. team. But you mentioned them as dogs, and then last night I'm seeing more pictures of them together because that's what you got to do. And I get it.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm open-minded on them being the dogs and mm-hmm. everything else. And James, you know this. Not one of them's popping an L's down.
I know. It's disappointing.
And to me, if you're going to be a dog,
yeah.
you pop an L's down.
I think that's
if you're
fair.
Wrong, that's
yeah,
fair.
I agree. I need to see an L's down.
DJ Wagner doesn't want you pop's there and everything.
Right.
I love Kenny. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't.
You didn't even visit
but
Kenny.
If he doesn't want to pop, you know, Aaron Bradshaw, you pop an L's down.
Right.
How about that?
Justin Edwards,
you pop an L's down. Reed Sheppard,
he sees it all the time.
I don't want to hear from you again. You pop an L's down. No one's doing it. The dogs pop the L's down.
I agree.
And that's the thing that's worrying me.
Yeah.
To me, it's a litmus test. To me, someone's got to do an L's down.
Someone's got
to
do it.
Bradshaw and Edwards, Reed. Someone's got
to
do it.
If DJ Wagner wants to step out of the picture, fine. Step out of the picture.
If Wagner wants to console Kenny Payne and Steve
right.
Rummage, that's fine.
Yeah.
But if they're dogs, I need an L's down.
Look.
And you got a problem with that.
If they beat Louisville in the Yum Center and then Pop L's down the way out, all's forgiven. DJ Wagner beats Pop and Kenny Payne in the Yum Center.
Man.
And on his way out, he looks at Rummage and Maven right in the eye and pops both of them an L's
Is
down.
Is Rummage going to be there?
Good point,
yeah. Is he going to be there? I don't know. Last year. I don't know.
They might be not feeling that good that game.
Is he not going to be there?
Maybe they have the tum-tum issues.
Rummage says he's going on vacation. Where is he going? Is it Orlando?
Disney?
Is it Disney
again?
I don't know.
I
assume it is.
Is Disney or Gatlinburg? He hasn't been to Gatlinburg in a while, so it might be Gatlinburg time. Because spring breaks
yeah,
be crazy
well,
in Disney.
Once you've been.
Well, fair, but he
I mean, how
a
much
lot.
Toffee can you get? How many times can you smash a penny?
You can go get like some nunchucks too.
Nunchucks?
Yeah, they had those martial arts stores where you can buy like swords and nunchucks and
boy, they do gear it towards some.
Oh yeah, man!
White people.
Yeah, yes, they do. Yeah.
And you know, Andy, the dogs can give the L's up or the L's down because they might have to enter the portal after.
Yeah, well, they might have to. Enter, well, a couple of them. Reed Sheppard.
Kenny Payne doesn't do well in the portal, James. I don't know if you've seen that here or not, but
he's got this very year. Well. He's got this year.
Yeah, I'm still waiting on something.
Boy, DeCourcy did not like Caleb Love.
No,
Mike DeCourcy will not dump on anybody. But I might dump a little bit on Caleb Love.
And as much as he loves coaches, I mean, he wasn't very praiseworthy for, I mean, Roddy Terry's like, oh, yeah, he's a fine coach, but
we'll see. Yeah, you know, I'm not sold on
this.
Yeah,
you said that yesterday.
I mean,
yeah.
unless you know that you made Musselman, Bruce Pearl,
somebody, some type of offer, some of
these guys
sure.
Didn't want the job, you know.
I'm with you.
That's the way I look at it. the other side, it looks like Rodney Terry's going to keep guys. Ron Howell would play for Muscle. Maybe he's recruited by him. Maybe hates him. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe they did work out.
We got to get out of here. All right. I'll be traveling tomorrow. Strebel's got it. Back at it Thursday and Friday, live from Radio Row. Thank you to Justin, or James, who's Justin. Justin's in L.A.
He's in L.A.
God knows what. With Anthony Kiedis. It's a musty reference.
Isn't it? Anthony Kiedis.
That's what
Lisa
I thought.
Red Hot Chili Peppers, yeah.
So thank you to James. Bonus hour coming up next.